The sectarian wars in Syria and Iraq continue to shock with almost daily revelations of extreme barbarity. We now know that Australian citizens are participating in those wars, as many as 150 of them, according to our intelligence agencies. And this week, a new low, with Sydney man Khalid Sharouf getting his young son, apparently, to hold up the severed head of a Syrian soldier and proudly posting that picture on Twitter. The photograph has shocked Australians, and it also clearly appalled the visiting US Secretary of State, John Kerry.
This image is really one of the most disturbing, stomach-turning, grotesque photographs ever displayed of a seven-year-old child holding a severed head up with pride and with the support and encouragement of a parent.
John Kerry joined Foreign Minister Julie Bishop yesterday in saying that they will push for a meeting at the UN next month to look at this issue of foreign fighters participating in conflicts abroad. In a moment, I'll be joined by a Sydney Muslim community leader talking about this issue. But first, James Carlton has been investigating Khalid Sharouf long before these photos came to light. James, hello.
Hi, Fran. Good morning.
James, what can you tell us about Khalid Sharouf, beyond what we all know now, that he was jailed in Australia for terrorism charges?
Well, before that, and this hasn't been widely reported because he wasn't convicted, he was a serious drug dealer. He had a very difficult childhood, dysfunctional. He was abandoned by his father for a period. He got into drugs in terms of using them. He also had chronic schizophrenia. He grew up in southwest Sydney, which, in spite of its reputation, is not a dysfunctional community by and large. Most Muslim and non-Muslim families have kids growing safely in good order. In fact, Greenacre, you get professional Muslim parents raising professional Muslim university-educated kids, all Australian-born into the third generation. But it does have to be said, when things do go wrong, they do go wrong hard. And that was the case with Khalid Sharouf. He was not remotely religious, nor was his father, although nominally they were Sunni Muslims. He married his high school sweetheart, an Australian girl, also not religious. They had children very early. And in fact, when things turn sour in that milieu, because of his unstable life, it's not unusual in the normal course of events in that area to become reconnected with what may have been a nominal faith, which is Sunni Islam. And in his case, it turned terribly sour when he took the Islamic path before he went to prison.
And so what led him to not just the Islamic path, but such an extreme
Well,
path
it's of Islamism? It's ironic in that his lack of knowledge of Islam was intrinsically linked with his extremist interpretation of Islam. He wasn't well read in the hadith, interpretations of the Quran. In fact, he came to a realization that his crimes as a drug dealer were so foul, in fact, so contrary to the teachings of Islam, that he simplistically believed he needed an equal and opposite devotion to Allah to offset those crimes to find his way to heaven. He therefore needed to be as brutally a supporter of what he believed to be Islam as he was an enemy of Islam when he was selling drugs to children. It's a perverted calculus, but that was behind it, according to people who knew him well.
Okay, James, thank you very much. Well, with me in the studio now is Dr. Jamal Rifi. He's a GP and a Muslim community leader in southwestern Sydney. He knows Khalid Sharouf's father. Jamal, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Welcome to you. Thank you. Thank you, friend.
Jamal, who do you blame for this radicalization of people like Khalid Sharouf and others? We know there's around 150 Australians operating in these theatres.
Well, unfortunately, one Australian in the theatre of war in Syria is one too many. 150, it's far too many. To be honest, for Khalid Sharouf in particular, people close to him, and I myself knowing his father, because his father was the bodyguard of Sheikh Tajuddin al-Hilali. Sheikh Tajuddin himself have actually described Khalid as an empty vase where you can fill it with anything you want to. And it was filled with this rubbish ideology. And unfortunately, a lot of young people, they don't learn their religion from reputable persons. They learn it through the network, the internet, and social media. And in terms of Khalid himself, everyone will tell you that he's not as stable mentally. He had some issues growing up, and he was diagnosed initially with depression and later on with schizophrenia by many psychiatrists. As a matter of fact, his action right now, what he's doing, will document and prove the diagnosis was right.
Many people, though, suffer those and don't end up being extremist jihadist fighters and murderers, which is apparently what Khaled Sharouf is, if we can trust the images he posts. James was pointing out that he was a drug dealer, and he, to atone for that, he sort of made this, you know, 180-degree shift to religion, but he took on an extreme religion to try and make up for what he sees as his extreme sins, if you like. Is that a path you've seen before?
Well, followed? Look, we are seeing it now with Sharouf and El Omar and some others, and these people are susceptible for negative influences due to the nature of their mental illness. I'm not trying to give it an excuse. I'm just trying to explain some of their odd, disgusting behavior, because no sane person will take his children, his family, to a theater of war. It's only an insane person will do, and not get his son to hold such a severe head.
But as you say, this is extreme action, and there's apparently 150 Australians, as many as, taking this extreme action. You have sons. You've talked about how your fears that your sons would be radicalised. What, the empty vessel, if we take that, that terminology you used, who is filling it up, and what can be done to make sure that it's not being filled up with hate? What do you do with your sons to try and counter the threat that is out there on the internet? We've all seen those recruitment videos. They are terribly enticing for young people. You can see that.
We need to empower our kids by them to know exactly their religion, to learn from a reputable religious person, one with credential, who knows the religion quite well. And let me tell you, the more radical these people are, the less they know about their religion. Their action is non-Islamic. It has nothing to do with Islam whatsoever, because there are code of ethics in how to conduct yourself as a Muslim and also as a combatant. There are code of ethics in Islam and how you conduct yourself and how you treat the enemy and the deceased body and the victims. And nothing I have seen has anything to do with Islam.
And just finally, Jamal, what has this image done, this image we've been talking about of Khaled Sharouf's son, what has it done, what effect has it had within the Muslim community in southwest Sydney, where you are?
Well, look, if I can use the words of the taxi driver who drove me down, who also known Khaled Sharouf, and he said that Khaled used to come into his taxi and come out and never pays because never had any manners, and his view was, no sane person will take his family. It's actually what to where Khaled Sharouf has taken his kids. And a large section of our community are very upset by his action, and they are very upset the way that actually he taken his family there. And let me put it in the voice of His Eminence Professor Ibrahim Abu Mohammed, the Grand Mufti of Australia, who stated that it is utterly deplorable for extremists to use Islam as a cover for their crimes and atrocity.
Jamal Rifi, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Dr. Jamal Rifi, a GP and Muslim community leader from Southwest Sydney. It's 8 minutes to 7 on Breakfast.